Okay, so friends, thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode of The Inner Dimension, our weekly Shir and Chassidus on the parasha. We have some incredible, incredible teachings to learn together, B'siyata D'Shmai, with Hashem's help. And so let's begin with the Degam Achan Ephraim and Parshas Mishpatim. Just very briefly, obviously, Parshas Mishpatim is the parsha that begins to detail some of the civil laws and some of the societal commandments that are given in the Torah, and makes up actually the bulk of all of those laws that are brought down in the three Babas, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, and all of the interpersonal relationships. Many people have pointed out how you go from Parshas Yisro, which is Parshas Yisro is the giving of the Torah, is Matan Torah, is that place of Lo Salav and Malas Al Mizbechi, all of the different elements of the Beis HaMikdash and what that means. You know, we talked about last time, not to have steps, but to have a ramp to go up, to be Mala Aliyah, unbelievable thing. Vayered Hashem Al Sinai, to be able to behold the presence of God, and then without any warning, it just completely switches channels. Ve'ela Mishpatim Hashatasim Lufneim, like we'll learn, it goes right into the very, very basic bare, that low place in Kanan, that level of a civil dispute, of what that means to have this relationship with others, and it's a pretty remarkable shift. But that is very much, very, very much, thank you so much for coming, that's very, very much an indicator of what Yiddishkeit is really supposed to be, is the blending between the Yisro and the Mishpatim, is to draw that element and the fire of Yisro down into Mishpatim. But that is our Parsha. The bulk of the Parsha talks about these civil laws, and then at the very, very end, Moshe ascends up the mountain where he stays for 40 days and 40 nights. The next couple of Parshiyos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is explaining to Moshe and dictating to him what the Mishkan is supposed to look like, what all the different Kalim are supposed to look like, the Big Day Kahuna, etc. And then we move into the Chet HaEgel, ultimately when they see that Moshe is taking a longer period of time to come down the mountain than they originally expected. So let's jump into the first piece from the Degam Achan Ephraim. On the very first pasuk, Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lefneim, these are the laws that you shall place before them, which is before Klal Yisrael. Issa B'Zohar Kadosh, a fascinating Zohar. And the Zohar comments on this statement with a very enigmatic teaching, and he says, Ilein Sidurin Del Gogulin, which means, Ela obviously is Ilein, it's that word which means these are, but whereas the simple pasuk means HaMishpatim is the laws, Ashutasim Lefneim, the civil disputes, the civil laws, the laws of Shomrim, the laws of the courts, etc., the Zohar Kadosh says these are Sidurin, the order, the Gilgulim, and the secret mysteries of what it means, a Gilgul of reincarnation. Very fascinating thing. And it goes on to detail a little bit Alderech Sod in the level of the Kabbalistic hints that are left in these psukim that deal with the secret of Gilgulim, about how different souls are reincarnated throughout history. So he says on a very simple level, Vuhutumua, it seems to be a pretty strange anomaly over here. L'chora, haba pasuk mefarish, va'azul dini mamonis. Like we're saying, the psukim go on to illustrate and to discuss dini mamonis, very, very basic, mundane societal laws. So where does the Zohar Kodesh see ve'ilam mishpatim tasam lefneim, that's talking about Gilgulim, that's talking about this mystical sort of reincarnation system? So he says, Ach shamati b'inin adin, he says a very, very interesting thing I heard, b'inin adin, she'echad dan es chaveray b'inin adin, with regard to two people who take each other to court. She'echad dan es chaveray le'beis din, a person goes ahead, he has an azmana to beis din, he calls his friend to beis din, they have a dispute. V'yodea ba'atzmo, this person knows, which is Reuven and Shimon, let's say, Reuven knows for absolute certainty, she'bevadai hu zakai b'din, he knows how this thing went down, he knew what the agreement was, he knew what the contract said, he knew what the details were, and he is absolutely positive, and he knows, be'emes, that he's right. But even so, because of some detail, whether it could be a detail that he didn't have the right witnesses, or he didn't have some element in place that's necessary in court to prove his case, even though he knows that Be'emes, he's truly supposed to be the victor in this case. But the Torah is mechayavto. And the Torah goes ahead, and the Torah makes it that he should be the one who has to pay out, or he should be the one who has to deal with the loss. Even though, again, he knows that Be'emes, it's not the truth. Al yikshalo. The Zohar Kaddish is teaching us with these three enigmatic words, Al Yikshalo, let him have no questions on God, let him have no questions on the Torah. Because Halo Torah is MSC, because we know for absolute certainty that the Torah and everything that comes out of the Torah is MS, is Yashar. Hu Udrachel Darchei Noam, and the ways of the Torah are sweet. Ki Zeu Amitas HaTorah V'tan Darcheha. So here we say an amazing thing. That the truth is that the Torah, like we know, is Yashar, and Kaddish Baruch Hu is Yashar, he's just. So he says, if this was the way that the court case turned out, even though it appears to be neged and contrary to the truth, ki bevadai it had to be that mistama hayachay begilgal ha'avar le'ish hadon imai. It must be that in a previous incarnation of this person's identity, he knew this person. They had some sort of business dealing in a previous era in which they were in a different incarnation, a different body with the same soul, or at least the same portion of the soul. And it must be that he was chayiv to this person some money. Okay, Ace at this time chayiv to haTorah l'shalom because he lotzi tzidich avaso v'chavera shalokeach at, right. So therefore, the Torah now, even though it appears to him that it's not accordance with the truth, but the Torah is a level of objective perspective to be able to say that with this broad sort of hashkacha, what's happening now, even though it appears to be against the truth, is the absolute truth, the way that it's supposed to be to repay this loan, this debt that he had from a previous incarnation. And certainly the person who's taking the money now, that seems to be out of touch with justice and the way that he's lying in order to get it, he's also will also be reincarnated along the line and push the ball forward in that way to sort of pay back what he's taking out of just and not justly now in accordance with the system of the Torah, because ultimately he's a liar. And he says this is the way that it is many times with court cases. The things seem to come out, alpi din Torah, seem to come out against the MS, but the Zohar Kaddish says, v'zeyish lomar, shirim is the Zohar Kaddish, this is what the Zohar Kaddish is teaching us, ve'eila mishpatim, anytime that we're going to talk about the court system, anytime that we're going to talk about the dinim and din MS, shehim dini mamanis, which have to do with the fiscal dealings of bin adam l'chaveru, aval pishim min hanira, even though on a surface, it may seem him negative MS, that it's contrary to the truth, l'fa'amim, ach da MS, the truth is, the Zohar Kaddish says, ilin sidur in Gugulaya. This is where that system of reincarnation really comes to the fore, to be able to lend a certain level of coherency, even though on the face value it may seem to be negative MS, says the Zohar Kaddish, any time that there's a court case and the Torah is getting involved to go ahead and to decide between two disputing parties, a person has to know, here's the secret of Gugulaya, here's the secret of reincarnation. Is the creator of all, the creator of all souls, he knows the truth, even far better than we think that we know the truth from our subjective perspective. He has access to knowledge that we could never ever fathom. Now again, this doesn't mean that we could do whatever we want and assume that this person was supposed to get punched in the face and etc. A person has to go ahead and act based on the sensitivities that we have from our perspective. But when it comes a case that's beyond our control and something happens that it didn't Torah, based on the laws, what are they supposed to do? And this is the laws. You needed to have brought a witness. You didn't have a witness. So you can scream from today till tomorrow that you know that you're saying the absolute truth and the other person is lying, you may be right. But over here, a person has to go with Amuna Ilin Sturin the Gugulaya to say that on some level of truth that we're not privy to right now, we're talking before about Purim, on a level beyond Das, so we have to go ahead with that Amuna and the faith to know that there's a level of wisdom beyond that which we can that we can currently have access to. This is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who causes everything, he caused this too. And ultimately it's all any questions on the Torah's system of deciding court cases, it's all but tzedek, with righteousness, with mishpat, and with absolute justice, emes, with truth, lishpot, bein ish, bein re'ehu, bein shor, v'chamor, v'chol ha'shalom, like the Pasuk says, kefi asher yorim elokim, v'yish v'zeh pesach rachav, and he says, this is an introduction that can lead us to many wonderful and incredible places, right? Because it's not just applicable to an actual court case where a person is in this situation, which hopefully we should never be in such a case. We shouldn't have quarrels, we shouldn't have anything negative happen to us that would require us to take someone else to Beis Din or be taken to Beis Din, but this is true in life b'chlal. Many times we go through things and we think that it's unjust, it's unjust, right? Even in accordance with what the Torah seems to say, it seems to be out of touch with our sensitivity of what is just and what is proper. We have to go into this teaching the Zohar Kaddish, Ilin Sturin de Gogalaya, right? You have to enter into this truth of knowing that there's a level beyond which we have access to, and that's an important teaching to remember. So we move into the man. Yeah, sure.
No, I just wanted to be clear. When in Mishpat, we're talking about if we're... It's going according to what
the Torah.
Not a perversion of
Torah. No, not at all. Not at all. That's the point. We're going in accordance with the Torah, but this person knows that he's really right, and the Torah's law is going to come out to reward the other person. Then he has to go into this faith of knowing that somehow, some way, this is just on a level beyond the level that he's privy to. So here we move into the second teaching, the teaching from the Me'ashiloach, and this also goes on the first pasuk in the parasha, the Elam Mishpatim, and these are the laws Ashatasim Lefneim that you shall place before them. It says Rashi. That's the middle paragraph. Is Rashi. It says Rashi Lefnei Hem V'lo Lefnei Agoyim. What is the implication of that you shall place before them? Of course, before them. Who else is Moshe Rabbeinu giving the Torah to? What is the word Lefneim teaching us that we should go to Jewish courts V'lo Lefnei Agoyim, and there's an Isser or there's a law to go to non-Jewish courts V'afilu Yedat V'din Echad. Very interesting. Even if a person knows that in this particular area of law, Shem Danim Oisa Gidini Yisrael, that the ultimate judgment that's handed down is going to be identical to that which the Beis Din would have given in accordance with the Torah. That in this area, the laws are exactly the same. Al to the Eil Bar Ko Shalahem. This is the Isser of Bar Ko, not to go ahead and to take someone to a non-Jewish Beis Din. Very important. And Rachmana Litzlan, many people are erring in this area because they go straight to the non-Jewish courts. But it's really an Isser. And the truth is that we should go to Jewish courts if. After a person has a hazmana and the person is not coming to Beis Din, even though they called him a few times and he's breaking the halacha, but not deciding, we don't have a police force to go ahead and force him. We're not in our land. We don't have the Sanhedrin. We don't have Bati Dinim Kvuim. So then at that point, he's allowed to take him to a non-Jewish court at that point, and that's perfectly fine, and that's not against the Israel at all. But on a standard case, a person should always go to the Bati Dinim. There are many ways of setting up Bati Dinim if a person is not around without getting to the laws of that now. But that's the main thing. Maybe Dini Yisrael if Nigoyim, because ultimately a person who goes and brings a court case in front of the non-Jews, ultimately Mechalas Hashem. He's really in a certain way defiling and defaming the name. And he's going ahead and lifting up, even if it's a secular court, but it's all the same thing. This means that you trust the justice system of a secular government or a government that's founded certainly on Avodah Zarah and Me'ukam and convoluted Dinim that they handed down through their tradition. Instead of the Torah, right? Shenamar ki lo kitzurinu tzurim, the pasuk says. Our tzur, our rock, meaning our creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is like kitzurim. It's not like their creator, but right? Or their assumed creator with the lowercase c. But ovenu plilim, and their judges are our enemy. Ovenu is our enemy, and plilim is a reference to judges. Their judges are our enemies. Kishayvenu plilim. When our enemies become our judges, zehu edus li'ili yirasam, says the Tanchuma. This is giving edus. This is sort of going ahead and sort of testifying to the legitimacy of their court system over our holy Torah, and that is something that is an issur to do. So here the Me'ashiloach delves into the depth of this, an amazing thing. Asher tasim lifneim. Perish Rashi. This is the Rashi we just saw. Lifneihem v'lo lifnei akum. That a person should go ahead and to get judged by a Jewish court, v'lo lifnei ha'akam, and not in front of non-Jews, v'afilu yadas v'din echad. And again, Rashi said, even if a person knows that the din that comes out will be just like the Torah, shem danam osa k'dini Yisrael, v'chulu, a person shouldn't do that, shenamar ki lo kitzurenu tzuram. And again, the simple understanding of the pasuk is that our rock, which is our creator, is not like their creator. Now, on a certain level, there seems to be an implicit question here. Why not? What is so bad about going to a non-Jewish court if the din that's going to be handed down is exactly the same, the verdict's going to emerge identical to that which would have came out from going to a Beis Din? What's so bad about such a thing? Says the Me'ashiloach, a very deep thing. The understanding is as follows. Every single human being in the entire world, male, female, makes no difference. We all have the same arms and the same legs, and we have the same form of the bodies, whether you're Jewish, whether you're not Jewish. Humans are humans. We're the human race. And it makes no difference whether you're a Jew or you're not Jew. We have that same bodily makeup. The afal pikein, but he says, even so, we find an incredible thing, and this is really something that's true, that we all experience. You can tell a Jew, you can smell a Jew from a mile away. Even though they look like everybody else in the crowd, you could just know. You know, and we're not talking about Orthodox Jews, you could certainly know. Hasidim, you could certainly know. No matter how many baseball caps they try to wear and everything else, you know it's a guy from, Kiryas Yael from New Square. But it makes no difference. We're talking about even the most secular Jew. Somehow you could sense it sometimes. But inyan hu negad haseichel, and he says really in such a way that it's totally contrary to the mind's understanding. Shem yamdu elef goyim. If you have he says 1,000 non-Jews, v'yisrael echa b'neim, nikol kol tzuris yisrael b'nei goyim. Everyone will be able to pick out the Jew from 1,000 non-Jews. Just clear. V'zoisu lepel of enikol ha'olam. And he says seriously, there's something very deep about it. It's funny on one level, but it's really deep. Why is this so? Why is it so easy for us to go ahead and pick out a Jew from 1,000 non-Jews, even though we all look alike and we're all dressed alike, etc., etc.? Vizel, because he said, and that's the deeper meaning of the pasuk that says, ki lo kitzureinu tzuram. On a simple level, tzur means a creator, a rock, right? With a capital R is our creator. But tzur could also mean melashin tzayar, or litzayer, which means to create. See, he says the way that they are created is not the way that we are created. Even though we may all look alike, and all of our faces have two eyes and one mouth, etc. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the Torah, Ki lo kitzureinu tzurim. There's a certain sur. There's a certain artistic element which is able to be perceived, came Zera Berich Hashem, that everybody's able to point to them and say, this person is blessed. There's something special about this person. There's something different about this person on a level that goes beyond just the skin deep, a level that touches the very essence and the very aura that the person is giving off, etc. The Oveinu Pelilim, at the end of that sentence, which again describes the difference in the way that we are created in terms of our neshama, where we come from. The Oveinu Pelilim, Hainu Amishpat Gamkenhu, which is a reference to the court case. And the difference between the judgment handed down by a secular court and that handed down by a Beis Din is in the same pasuk, because it's the same thing. Even though ultimately what's going to come out is an equal din, and it looks exactly the same on the outside, just like two human bodies look the same, one Jew, one non-Jew, it makes no difference. It's the same thing. Even so, there's a certain sweetness and there's a certain beauty that can't really be described. There's an ethereal difference that is hovering and surrounding the Jewish verdict rather than the verdict that comes down from the non-Jewish. Even though, again, it's the same verdict, meaning it's the same body, on the outside it looks the same, there's something qualitatively different because it's Al-Pi Torah, and it's because it is divinely inspired, and it's because it's founded on faith, and it's founded not, chas v'shalom, on bribery or anything else or any other sort of intellectual, this worldly, rational wisdom. Ultimately, we know that everything, even the mitzvahs that we could understand, we're not supposed to go ahead and think that that's the real understanding. As we'll see, we should go ahead and say it's Gzeiras HaMelech. Ultimately, we do it because the king said to, and we're relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we realize the limits of our seichel, which is something that the secular courts may not do. So, meaning, even though they may be able somehow to come to the truth that's identical to that of the Torah, there's a certain ethereal quality when the verdict is handed down by a Beis Din than the verdict that's handed down by a non-Jewish court. He says, at the depth, at the essence, even though, again, it may on the surface look the same, but it's not connected to that omek, which is lacking over there, Kamosha Kasa, like the Pasuk says, Magidvar of Liakov, Chukov umishpat of Liisrael, lo asachen l'chalgoy. There was a certain level of mishpat, there was a certain level of justice and understanding that was given to the Jews, that lo asachen l'chalgoy, which is not present by the non-Jews. And that's the reason that even though, again, the verdict may look exactly the same, there's something different about going to a Jewish court than to go to a non-Jewish court. Let's move on to the next piece from the Degamach Nefraim. O Yomar, v'avadetem es Hashem elikeichem u'beirach eslach mecha v'esmeimecha v'asirosi machlim mikibecha. Also an incredible and very, very relevant teaching. The Pasuk says, you shall serve Hashem your God, Elukechem, your God, u'beirach eslach mecha, and He will bless your water, your bread rather, v'esmeimecha, and your water, v'asirosi machlim mikibecha, and I, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will remove the sickness from among you. Says the Degamach Nefraim, he looks at that pasuk and he sees a sort of contradiction. Ulevara shinoi, there seems to have been a shift. Lashon v'pasuk eitzel avoda amar lashon riboy v'avadetem. When it talked about the service of God, it was in the plural. It was in the plural form, which is avadetem. You shall, and you in English can mean sometimes plural and also singular. But over here, v'avadetem means, and you, plural, on a mass level, shall serve God. V'acherkach, but after that, Messiah v'lashon yachid, it shifts to a lashon yachid to talk to each individual. In particular, I will bless lachmecha, not lachmechem. I will bless your water in particular, your bread, right? Your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness mikibercha, not mikibechem. And so why the shift from v'avadetem, that you shall serve God in mass, it seems to say, and then the shift to Elashin Yachid Yishalomar, we can answer with the following. Ki ze bracha kfula amitis. The truth is that hinted to in this pasuk is a double bracha, a true double bracha. Because he said, on a simple level, everybody knows, Ki avod yoser tov birabim, bei begashmi, so bein beruchnis. You can't have two people go ahead and build a gigantic skyscraper. You need many, many people to get together and to do something. You need many, many people all the time, right? In order to make something that's a real impact and something of real worth, you always have to do the avod begashmi, birabim. You have to bring many, many people together with different talents and different abilities, etc., to go ahead and to do something great. So he says, bein beruchnis, the same thing in spirituality. Kamosha amarti amamarim zalani explains on the spiritual side something very, very incredible. The pasuk, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, "Kiriv letzadikim not elohem v'not elolam." When tzadikim, when righteous people come together, it is beautiful for them and it is beautiful for the world. So he says, what's the reason? Ki tzadikim domim lefnei hashchina kiner lefnei havuka. Another Maamar Chazal says that tzadikim and tzadikot are compared lefnei hashchina, in front of the divine presence, kiner, like a candle, lefnei ha'avuka, flickering in front of a torch. That's the way it is. You have a Jewish person is going ahead and saying tehillim, a Jewish person is davening, a Jewish person is putting on tefillin, a Jewish person is lighting Shabbos neiros. At that moment, that Jew who's expressing that ba'amech kulam tzadikim, that element we all have within, which is perfectly righteous and constantly desiring and yearning to do God's will, at that moment, he or she is like a ner, and in front of that little candle is the avuk of the Shechina, is the flickering sort of light of the torch. B'chazal omru, and Chazal expressed this idea differently when they said, Echad halomeid, even one person who sits to study Torah, Shechina omedes kenegda, the Shechina is in front of such a person. So he says, if you put all these equations, all these different elements together into an equation, v'derech haner, it is the way of a candle, that kishba avuka negdo, as I'm mechaben haner. Any time that you have a torch, and in front of that torch you have a candle, then the candle loses its worth, right? Because what's the light of the candle? Nechshav, right? It's not something that is valuable in front of the light of the torch. You can't even see the illumination that the little candle is giving off, right? It's in front of a torch. V'udai mekiner lefnei avuka. Which is why we do the bdikas chametz at night, right? Because if you do it in the day, the Gemara says shraga b'tira maya ani, right? What is a little candle doing in front of the sun? You have to shut all the light, right? People have the minute to shut the lights when they're searching with the candle, right? Because then you see the illumination. Then the illumination matters. So he says, as I mechaben anemrefnei aravuka. So the illumination of the torch is going to negate and going to nullify that little tiny flame of the candle. Nimsa. So it turns out that kishe echad lo meidu shchina shariyasham. When a person, an individual Jew, is acting in a manner of holiness on their own, separate from other people, and they're wrapped up in their own avoda, the shchina is there. That's what we said. But v'hudome kener lefnei havuka. The shchina is always a torch, and a single person doing an avoda is like a ner. What's going to happen to this candle? It's going to be completely over-illuminated by the light of the torch. So the Shechina doesn't want to put out the candle. What's the Shechina having to do? Puts on garments after garments after garments. So as not to impede on the light of that individual Jew, but ultimately the Shechina is always the passion and the vitality and the vibrancy and the joy and all that good stuff that we want to feel when we're serving God, and the Shechina becomes shut away because it doesn't want to put out that little single candle that the person is exhibiting and that the person is expressing. So it goes into like this small sort of form of a torch, but not to chas v'shalom put out the candle of that individual Jew. And so ultimately there's going to be a lot less shechina, a lot less joy, a lot less expansion, a lot less feeling. And again, this is when a person is going ahead and learning or davening or doing any avodah avodas Hashem alone. So he says a beautiful thing. But when you have so many candles that get together, and so many candles that link arms and join hearts and stand as one to serve God as a cloud, as a tzibur. Right? Or whether it's a base medrash and Jews are learning together, Jews are davening together, any avodah the Jews can get together and do it as one. So havuka miskaldelas, because the torch no longer feels it, it's going to put out the candle because the candles are so many. So the Shechina feels okay taking off all the garments and just being there, present in the moment to give so much joy and so much energy. And it is something that anybody could feel in a doma, a person who sits and learns by the dining room table, a person who walks into a base medrash, you have 700 people, right? Or any avodah that there's many people involved. You know, the Shabbos project, right? Where so many people get together, particularly for the woman that they're doing a challah bake and they're doing it in the street, if anybody saw. It's very, very different. A person is making challah in a house and having, you know, mafish challah. You could do it with thousands and thousands of women, right? The Siyam HaShas, how many people are there? 100,000 or something like that, 90,000 Jews. In a diamond, because the Shechina at that moment feels comfortable being there without needing to enclose itself within any garments. It's not hidden away. It is very easy to tap into that. And that's an amazing thing. Our Shechina Yoser Neged Ayotzim Negda B'Torah V'Avoda, and it's able to reveal itself and to be there and to be accessible to those who study Torah and serve God together. And that's why the Gemara says that we mentioned before, Kirv L'Tzadikim, when Tzadikim, those who are serving God, get together, Na' Elohim, it's Yafeh, it's beautiful, Na'eh, there's a certain beauty there that otherwise might be lacking, V'Na' La'olam, and it's beautiful for the world, it brings light to the world in an exponential way. V'Ainu Shemam Shichem Ar HaShchina K'V'Yachad, that they're able to draw the light of the Shechina upon them, V'Al Kol Olam Kula, and the whole entire world benefits from the illumination and the spiritual inspiration of these Jews' avodah. V'Cheinu L'Hepech, but the opposite is also true. So the Gemara says, that same Gemara says that Pizor l'rishayim na'ah, that for the wicked, it's much better to be wicked on your own than to be wicked with a group of people, because it's the same exact thing. Wickedness also has a like a dark lamp, like a dark energy that it brings into the world. And when one person is doing an avera on their own, it's one thing, right? Because again, that dark lamp doesn't want to put out that little bit of darkness, so it encloses itself in a certain way, right? But when there's masses doing an avera together, so that ultimately brings about that spirit in a much stronger way. And so the Gemara says, Pizor l'rishayim na'ah, it's much better for Hashem to be separate, to be split apart, to be on their own, and it's ultimately more beneficial to the world, obviously, relatively speaking, right? We'd rather that there be no Rishayim at all. But if there are to be wicked people, we'd rather them be separate from one another than gathered together. The same thing, the same process, and the same model with darkness. And this is Pshat in the Pasuk. The Avaditem es Hashem Elokeichem has to be Lashon Rabbah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us we got to serve God all together, that we shouldn't be on our own, on top of a mountain somewhere, meditating for 1,000 years. No, we have to be together. That's what Yiddishkeit is about. It's about community. It's about family. It's about friends. It's about serving God as one, that one person shouldn't be better or higher than the other, but it should be a joint group effort. Like the Mishkan we always talk about is Kol Nediv Libay Yeviyaha. Without one, were one Jew's contribution to be lacking, the entire Mishkan would be incomplete. It doesn't matter what level of the hierarchy, spiritually or physically or financially, that person is standing. Every person has something to contribute, and that's what Yiddishkeit is about. That you shall all serve God berabim together. That you shall merit to go ahead and to serve God as one. Biyad Rama, with an elevated strong hand. The Yisraba or Ashchina neged Oros HaNeshamos. And like we described, this beautiful process is that the light of the Shechina will feel comfortable emerging, and it won't feel that it's encroaching on the light of the individual souls, because there are so many, many candles. And that's again why it says Lashon Rabbim. Shezeu bracha gedola. That's the biggest bracha in the world, maybe even bigger than blessing the water and blessing the bread and removing sickness, because the most important thing is that we should have the Shechina. The most important thing is that we should be conscious of the beauty of our Yiddishkeit, is that we should feel it in our hearts, that it should be something that means something to us, that we should feel the closeness of God. That's the most important bracha. And then, meaning it's like a side thing. Also, when you leave the minyan, and when you leave the challah bake, and when you leave the what's it called, also like a door prize, you know, like a smaller thing, a consolation, like you'll your bread will be blessed, and your water will be blessed, but that's not the main bracha. The main bracha is ba'avadetem lashon rabim. That's the main bracha that God can give us. I bless you to get together with people. I bless you to join a community that you feel comfortable expressing yourself and serving God without any petty thoughts of hate, chas v'shalom, or any sort of period between yourselves, that there should be a beautiful barchinu avinu kulanu ke'echad. What's the biggest bracha from God? Kulanu ke'echad. And then ba'ar panecha, right? But the main thing, the main bracha is barchinu avinu is kulanu ke'echad. That's the main bracha, that we should all get together. That's the main thing in the world. Neged aras ha'shamas ha'evdom, the chen k'sil, like we said, right? Because, right. Uberech ha'slach m'chaloshin yachir, ki sham ha'machuvan kipshuta, shekol echad v'echad, he's barech b'fnei atzmo. Each individual will be able to draw from that wellspring of blessing into his or her own life, and that they should not go ahead and require anybody else. And that's a very important thing. With the last 3 minutes, let's just power through the last piece from the Kedushas Levi, the Hilchos Berditchever. Also a very important teaching in the first, right in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, the first piece. And he says, V'ishachavisa mirachok, at the end of the Parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and he says that the Shivim Zikanim and Yoshua and Moshe Rabbeinu should approach from the rest of the Kehila. They should stand at the foot of the mountain. Moshe, ultimately, at the end of the Parsha, goes up the mountain. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about those Zikanim, V'ishachavisa, excuse me, that they should bow down mirachok from a distance. Says the Berditchever Yishlomar. He says it's possible to comment and to lend an understanding to these words in the following way. Dihine, very, very important teaching. Each of these teachings, you know, we could go on for an hour. We're just going through them very, very quickly, and it's like headlines, but it's super important to really stop afterwards and to think about each and every one individual, maybe review them, and to think how we can apply it to our own lives, because each of these is like a big, big, big topic. So he says, Yish Lomar, it's important to say, Dihine Abore Baruch Hu Etzlo Yish Kibiyachos Shnei Bechinas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the way that he relates to each and every individual Jew, is in two aspects. He reveals himself in two ways. Bechinas rachok v'karov. He reveals himself in the way of being distant, And he also reveals himself in the way of being close. What does this mean? Bechinas rachok, the aspect in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is distant from us, who is she'anu ma'aminim, we believe she'ari in so far hu kadma l'chol ha'kedumim. We believe that the infinite one, right, which is so beautiful that the Hasidic Sfarim, the Kabbalistic Sfarim, refer to God not as God. It's so limiting. G-O-D. It's something. You know, I once saw one of the books said, like, you know, the God that we created, not that the God that created us. We created this concept of God of this little three little letters, but ain sof is just an infinite force. It's not something that's a being even. It's just beyond. It's an infinite energy. Who kadmon l'chol ha'kedumim? We believe that this energy was kadmon, was first, and before anything was first. We believe that no creature in the entire world could be able to be masik, like we talked about in the first piece, right? About Seelin, Sidur, and the Gugalaya. We have no saga of higher things, certainly not of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's essence. The human mind cannot contain him. Because the machshava is something that was created, and the created always has to be more limited than the creator, right? Or else the created would have created the creator, right? Obviously. So anything that a person makes needs to be subservient to them in the sense that he had enough wisdom to go ahead and create this thing, which means that he's more, obviously, on a far higher level. I mean, again, we're talking in infinite terms, and in the extent of this concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just an inventor. He's kadman l'kol. He created everything that we could possibly dream of. Ancient ofin ofana. There's no ofan. There's no angel v'saraf. Another kind of angel sheyasego so that can grasp him ki l'malam nasaga, because he's far beyond any ability of the mind to grasp. Zevchinas rachok. This is the aspect in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Rachok, he's distant, he's removed, he's transcendent, he's beyond, he's infinite, all the way out there, something that our minds can never grasp, etc. Very distant. Shu rachok murdo manasaga, that he is far, he is distant and removed from our saga. But all of us need to know, so important, that Rebechinas Karov is that same God was the aspect of what we call Malkeinu, that aspect in which he's our king, closed up in a palace thousands of miles away from us peasants that live somewhere all the way at the edge of the forest. And we heard about the king once, but he lives very, very far away. Rachok, that's the Melech, he's the king. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also Avinu. He's Avinu Malkeinu. This is Karov and Rachok. The Melech aspect is that he's Rachok from us, but the Av aspect is that my father's upstairs in the house. I could call up to him, whenever I want. He lives in the same house with me. Bechinas Karov, who this is the aspect in which we believe Shara Maminim, that we believe Shabar Baruch Hu Memalikol Almin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills all worlds. A Begoy Kol Almin, that he's found penetrating deep within this world. A Makiv Kol Almin, and he's constantly surrounding and hovering over and embracing this world. Leis Asar Ponimine, like the Zohar Kodesh says, there is no place that is vacant of him. Everything is God. We're the air that we're breathing in is God. The premise of our existence is God. The words that we're able to speak is God. The seichel that we have is God. Everything, because the pasuk says ki milol chal haaretz kavoda, that the entire world is completely permeated with his glory. Zeu b'chinas karov. This is the aspect in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close, always so accessible, always so with us on our level, in what the level we're able to understand, like a father to a child, like a master to the servant, whatever it is that we can understand, but something that's relatable to us. Something that cares about us, that's conscious of us in the same way that we could be conscious of others. And each and every individual Jew needs to go ahead and to walk with these two aspects, and chas v'shalom, never to allow one to take precedence over the other, because, like I've described many times in the past in different mediums, if we have an imbalance between this very, very important equilibrium that needs to be kept, ultimately the result is going to be a lack of health, right? If there's too much melech, so then a person feels that God is cold and distant and there's nothing for me to serve. If there's too much karov, so then a Kaddish Baruch Hu becomes something that's kal, something that's no Yerushalayim, there's nothing that I have to be afraid of doing, nothing, no mitzvahs in the Torah that I need to go ahead and to sacrifice in order to keep, because a Kaddish Baruch Hu will forgive me anyway. There has to be a very, very important, what we call a tension of opposites, pulling us in the extreme sense, but also in a very balanced way, both to melech and to av, that I should be able to tap into either energy when I need it at a given point in my life. So he says, Jew needs to believe in both of these things and to walk with both of these things. And these two things should really compose our understanding of God. Melech and Av, Rachok and Karov. Ha'echad hu Rachok v'asheni hu Karov. Again, these two aspects in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, on one hand, Rachok, but on the other hand, Karov, Mikol Karov, closer than anything close. V'zehu pirsha kasav, and with this we finish. This is the understanding of the pasuk that says, Shalom, says God, I extend peace, l'rachok l'karov, to one who is far and one who is close. Amar Hashem, says God, says the Berditcher, he interprets it in a novel way based on this, is l'osot tzadik. You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends peace to? You know what the shalom is to? Not to those who are far and to those who are close, but to the tzadik. tzaddik who believes in both aspects of rachok and karav. Shalom la rachok la karav, to the rachok karav Jew, to the Jew who has the balance between distant and close, the Jew who has that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch on the level of melech, where he has yirah shamayim, like we're going to learn, on the level of av, in which a Jew feels close to Kadosh Baruch, who is someone that he has a relationship with. La osu tzaddik shiyamin shashem yizbaruch hu rachok la karav, l'zeh hashem yizbaruch mamshich kol mani hashpas la olam. Such a Jew, Kadosh Baruch gives shalom, gives peace, and gives blessing. Vihine, and here we come to the end. Yesh bechinas ahava v'yira. We know that our whole Yiddishkeit is founded upon two very important kavana, intention, foundations, which is ava, which is love for God, v'yira, and the fear of Him. And the Zohar Kadosh says that ava and yira are called strain godfin. They are called two wings, right? And that's the way that a person can have a beautiful bird, but the bird ain't gonna fly if it doesn't have two wings. What are the two wings of a Jew? The two wings of a Jew's avodah is ava and yira, a very important intention that a person always has to have. Yiddishkeit is supposed to be a relationship. It's supposed to be this passionate encounter with a God to whom we have emotions, to whom we feel things. We're not robots, you know, checking off a checklist, but we have to have the two wings. Can you imagine if you have a bird only has one wing, goes in circles and circles, it can't fly also, but it's probably worse if you only have one wing than to have no wing. And that's what we're talking about. To only have ava or only have yira, or to have them in disproportion to each other, is a negative thing, but we have to have both. Yesh b'chinas ava v'yira. V'hine, yira lo shayich. When does a person have yira from something? Rak shana mesiyarim ifnei hadavar shu lemala mimenu. Something that's bigger than us, something that's broader than us, something that is on top of us, so that we have yira from such a thing. We shake and we tremble and we have fear and we have awe. Ultimately, it's beyond fear. Mimenu. This is the emotion that's inspired by the aspect in which God is rachok, the king. We have fear. It's very hard to love the king in the same way that we fear the king, right? We fear the king. A king is so far. It's something so big and something beyond. Shasham nofal yira. That's when a person has the fear. Ava mibchinas karov. Magia ahava. From the level in which God is so close to us, that is something that we feel ahava to. That's the level of unconditional love. That's the level in which a Kadosh Baruch Hu is like our father. And a person loves a relative. A person loves someone who's close to them. A person loves a spouse. And that's the way shir shirim. That's the way it's a relationship with God is supposed to be, is this unbelievable, loving, passionate relationship. And that's pshat. And with this we end, that the pasuk says, that you shall bow down. What does it mean to bow down? A person bows down to something they have fear before, right? It's an expression of subjugation. It's an expression of lowliness, to go ahead and to bow down and to make oneself vulnerable in front of the other, to totally nullify ourselves before that thing. Duhu b'chinas yira, which again is an expression of fear. Shemishtachav, that we're bowing down. Lezeh Amar, says the pasuk, v'shtachavisem. You know what you'll bow down before? You know where yira is? Mirachok. From the aspect in which God is rachok, not just on a simple level, they shall bow down far away. Of course it means that. But far deeper, in two words, the Torah is teaching us a tremendous foundation. Where does a person get yira shamayim from? By remembering that as much as the Kodesh Baruch is your best friend, and as much as He loves you, and all these things are true, they are absolutely true, and there's hope, and there's always hope, and there's always love, etc., etc. But we also have to realize that mirachok, there's also an aspect in which God is infinitely, infinitely beyond, and that's the level which inspires the emotion of yishtachavisem, which is ultimately yira, this element of to go ahead and bow down before Hashem. Do b'chinas yira shemishtachav lazeh amar mirachok kanal mi'osu b'chinas harachok hisigu b'chinas hayira. And that's on a very simple level what the pasuk is telling us in two words. V'yishtachavisem, a Jew wants to know how to tap into this level of yira, of bowing down before God, of subjugating and of sacrificing for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. The answer is mirachok. The way to achieve this is to focus on the aspect in which Kodesh Baruch Hu is rachok, and in the aspect in which He is removed. And of course, like I mentioned, you always have to have the balance in order to have two wings. You have to have Ava and Yira, Avinu, Makenu. We should be zocha to all of these wonderful things. And again, very important that afterwards we should try to at least to review a little bit some of the ideas and to think about how to take practical advice, because the most important thing in the world is, says Chazal, Loha Limara Iker. It's not so the most important thing is to learn and to know a lot of things. This could be beautiful, but the main thing is Hamaisa. The main thing is to apply, is to take these ideas and to sort of use them in our Avodas Hashem. That's ultimately our goal with all of this year, and this year in particular. And I wish you a wonderful, beautiful, amazing Shabbos. Thank you so much for coming. We'll be right back.